Our scripture today will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. 1 to 9? Yeah, 1 to 9. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this, your scripture, your word that you have freely given to us. You have given us a path to walk on and a light to light that path. We pray that we go where you guide us to. We ask you, Lord, that in all things your spirit of love is seen by all. We pray that we're able to see that spirit of love even now. We also pray for your mercy to be upon the sermon. May it be pleasing and honoring to you and used for your glory. We thank you for your love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. Hear now God's word. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready yet for it, Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Paulus, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants or the one who waters have one purpose, but they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Of course, when I first read this, it makes me think of farming, gardening. So I have to ask, who in here would say that they have a green thumb? Any green thumb people? Nobody? Beverly, yeah, green thumb. All right, so maybe you're having difficulty defining what a green thumb is. Let's define the green thumb as, if you plant a seed, it will grow and at least stay alive for more than 3 days. Okay? I have a very low bar for a green thumb. So I mean, so how many green thumbs out there? Stephanie, you're not a green thumb. Well, that's true. Okay, we'll do that. That's a low bar. So you're right. That bar is really, really low. But normally in our house, plants do not last very long. In fact, the longest living plant that we had in our house was a peace lily, right? That peace lily lasted quite a few years, in fact. And it even survived a transplanting, and it was we did okay. But of course, green thumbs are about making things live, helping things survive, and that's pretty impressive. I don't even think I could keep a dandelion garden alive. I mean, it's how terrible my thumb is. And what it takes to have a green thumb, I'm not exactly sure, but nurture, attention, patience. I mean, I really think I would be better at a green thumb if plants grew a whole lot faster. Have you ever seen a time lapse of a plant growing? It's beautiful. It looks alive as it grows. I mean, it is alive, of course, but it has such movement, and it's a very gorgeous thing. But the problem with me and plants is this idea of, what's the word? I just lost it. I said it at Manor. The difference between immediate gratification and delayed gratification, instant gratification is the word I was looking for. Another survey here. How many instant gratification people do we have? I am unabashed instant gratification person. If I have to, how many of you are familiar with Kickstarters? Kickstarters? Yeah, you help to support someone's vision of a product being made, and so you can donate money to them, and they could give you that product later, but it's not guaranteed that it happens. I was going through Kickstarter the other day, and they had this board game which looks really amazing, and I was thinking about kickstarting it, and I looked at the fulfillment date is February of next year, and I said, nope, I'm not waiting that long. I like things now, right now. And there was actually a study done for children, and I probably mentioned this before because it's one of my favorite studies, to try to figure out what kind of adult they would be as they grow up, one who was fixed on instant gratification or one who was okay with delayed gratification. And how it did is they brought the child in to answer a questionnaire with a doctor, and the doctor would sit there with the kid, and on the table would be a plate with one cookie on it. And the doctor said that this cookie was for the child, but it would be after the survey was done. In the middle of the survey, however, a nurse would come in and ask the doctor to step out, and the doctor would tell the child, if this cookie is still on the plate when I get back, I will give you 3. So they'd have to wait. And the doctor wasn't gone for like 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 5 minutes. The doctor was gone for like half an hour, 45 minutes. I would eat it. Because for me, I would know that at least I would enjoy that right there in that moment. Wouldn't have to wait. But how many of you would wait for the 3? Good
for you.
We have in our life these moments where we have to decide instant gratification or delayed gratification. And the people that Paul's talking about here, they were wrestling with the same thing. One of their many arguments, and we mentioned this argument before, is who do they follow, Paul or Apollos? Now, we still have this issue today. When I was growing up as a teenager, one of the people that we went to see often, or a few times anyway, was Carmen, the entertainer. In the 90s, early mid-90s, he was a big deal. He came around Pittsburgh a couple times. We saw him in concert in the Civic Arena when it was still the Civic Arena. And thousands of people would come and pack this area, and we'd all praise and worship God. And it was a great time, and I would love going to those concerts because I knew that Carmen would give me that feeling of spiritual high, that joy, that excitement, that hope, that emotional woo. Those were Carmen concerts. We've had those times of those spiritual highs. Jim Wanville, for many, is a spiritual high. And oftentimes when we go back to Jumonville, we go back because we remember that spiritual high. When we went to those concerts, we were expecting the spiritual high. Paulus and Paul, the people were fighting who I follow, because those were the people who gave them the spiritual high. They were the people that first got them to know who Jesus is. And that moment of salvation, that first moment of salvation in our lives is such an emotional, wonderful moment, filled with tears and joy all at once. And so sometimes we tend to follow who gave us that, whether it be an evangelist or a preacher or a person on the radio or whoever it might be. I remember one of my spiritual highs as a teenager was not just Carmen, but Billy Graham when he came to Pittsburgh in the mid 90s. That was a high. Seeing again thousands and thousands of people packed, hearing about Jesus. It was great. I still hear this thing going on today, not just from those greats like Carmen and Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or any of the other ones on TV, but there's people who will follow pastors in the United Methodist Church. They like a pastor so much, and when they move, if it's not too far away, they go to where they are. Paul is having the same issue with the people in Corinthians, and he's saying to them, are we just mere human beings? Because then he says, who is Apollos and who is Paul? What did they do? The only thing Apollos and Paul did, how'd that happen? There we go. The only thing that Apollos and Paul did is they followed their hearts and they followed Christ. Paul did his teaching and his preaching. Apollos did the same thing. We don't hear much about Apollos, but when Paul went into a neighborhood, what Paul would do is build that church. He would call the people. He would set up an order of worship. But when he went and go somewhere else to build another church, Paulus oftentimes would follow him and come to that church, and he would preach Jesus Christ and help the people grow. That's why Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. But what Paul wants us to see is that it's God who makes us grow. We may have people in our lives who planted those seeds. We may have people in our lives who helped us grow into a better understanding of what it means to be Christians. But it's actually God and the Holy Spirit who helps us to live into that. We can't surrender our lives to Apollos. We can't surrender our lives to Paul. We surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. I love this because what it does for us as we read this is that it tells us that we as Christians have two responsibilities in our lives: to plant seeds and to water seeds. Remember the story of the parable of the sower? That a farmer went out and he spread seeds, and some seeds fell on this soil and some on that, and some in the mud and some in the thorns. The beautiful thing about that story is that of the generosity of the farmer. The seeds that he's sowing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's not just sowing it very mediocre ways, but he's being very generous and just tossing it out there. Those seeds come from us, that come from the Holy Spirit. We're told to plant those seeds wherever we are, Does it matter where we are in life? The grocery store, the road, classes, school, work, retirement. We all have opportunities to plant seeds. Now, how can we plant those seeds? Through smiling, through kindness, through generosity. We plant the seeds through letting someone cut in front of us in line with graciousness. Not like, oh. No, but of course, I'm in no hurry. Go ahead. Maybe they had a terrible day in life and everyone was treating them horribly. And so they decide to treat someone else with anger or contempt, and you give back love. You've planted a seed. The seed that Christ is different. The seed that Jesus loves them. You may not have said it, but you showed it. You go to someone who's having a difficult time, and you ask them, "Can I pray?" Planted a seed. Someone is going through a difficult time. They just want someone to listen to, so they call you, but you're busy, you're making dinner, things are burning, but you listen. You turn off the stove, I hope, or the oven, or whatever the case is, but you listen. There are so many ways to plant seeds, so many ways to share the story of Jesus Christ without saying the name. But of course, saying the name is effective and helpful also. Or we can water. People come to us with a question about Jesus and we answer it to the best of our ability. We hold people accountable to what it means to live as Christians. We ask people how their day is going. The old pastor question. How is it with your soul? And then we actually stay to listen, to encourage. We water. We go to Bible studies. We go to worship. We hold each other not only accountable, but help to support each other with love and gladness and goodness. And we water. And that's it. That's all we can really do. We can't force anyone to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't save people and send them to heaven. We can't make sure that they are Christians. That's up to God. That's where our faith and trust and hope comes in. Our job is to plant and to sow. And I pray that in our lives we do just that, because as Paul goes on, he says, we are God's co-workers in service, and you are the fields. The fields for us is manor. God's building isn't just this church. God's building is wherever we are. This is God's domain, God's house, God's place, His manor, is Trafford, is Level Green, is Harrison City, Irwin, get the idea, wherever we are, that's where God is. And God will help these things grow. We just have to be there to plant. And to water. So I pray, whether we have a green thumb or a black thumb, that we plant as best we can, we water as best we can, and we trust God to take the next steps. Close with this final benediction. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus toward you. Lord, may we do this each day of our lives, serving you as best we can. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go in peace.